I wish to thank you. I wish to thank once again the constituents of Beaufort North. And I wish to thank, Mr. Speaker, this group of hard-working men and women, those who belong to a party called the St. Lucia Labour Party, and those who worked together with me to pledge to working solutions that we will put all our efforts to the wheel of work to ensure that their lives are better in 5 years' time. Mr. Speaker, I am happy because we crossed our hearts, we sought counsel from our rank and file, we tried to persuade the business sector, we spoke to farmers, fishermen, young and unemployed youth, and workers everywhere. We told them of our mission, our solemn vow, to give them relief, Mr. Speaker, some air to breathe, to give them passage in the darkness of their hour. We promised, Mr. Speaker, that we would hold their hand. And the Prime Minister's presentation on Tuesday evening gave me hope. Hope of a promise kept, Mr. Speaker, and hope that our promise to the people of St. Lucia is well on its way to being fulfilled. Even as the rains on Tuesday evening, Mr. Speaker, almost threatened our pathway outside, but within the chambers here, Mr. Speaker, the pathway for growth was being laid out and paved. The blueprint for constructing the solid path was laid, and there is hope, Mr. Speaker, much better to come. I'm confident, Mr. Speaker, in the leadership that this Minister for Finance brings to bear on this blueprint for growth. I am proud to be part of his team, and I am committed to the cabinet who will lead the construction of this better country, Mr. Speaker. And I am very excited about the next few months, both for my constituency of Beaufort North and for our country as a whole. Permit me to quote from the Prime Minister's address, Mr. Speaker, on page 4. And I quote, "This 2012-2013 statement on government socio-economic policies and budgetary proposals will focus on how we can redefine and reconstruct our economic space to promote much-needed growth, how we can engender confidence in our society to be more productive, effective, and participatory while maintaining social peace," unquote. Mr. Speaker, I wish to repeat some key words from the Prime Minister's address. Redefine and reconstruct. Reconstruct our economic space to promote growth, a phrase there. Engender confidence, effective, participatory, and maintaining social peace. Some words and phrases from the Prime Minister's address. According to our leader, Mr. Speaker, and I quote from his address, "These elements of good governance and confidence in a fair and caring state gives pride to its people, gives surety to the investor, gives freedom of mind and energy to the youth." Again, Mr. Speaker, I'm honored to take my place at the handle of hard work, and I'm very happy to lead one of our productive sectors. One of the areas, Mr. Speaker, which promises better days for the people. And in my capacity as Minister for Agriculture, Food Production, Fisheries and Rural Development, Mr. Speaker, I wish to say that we are here and we are ready. The Prime Minister calls once again on page 4 for us to promote growth, to engender confidence, to be productive while maintaining social peace. What then, Mr. Speaker, is the difference between this government of ours and the former government? What are the policy imperatives and what impact will they create? I wish to state, Mr. Speaker, that the belief in agriculture, food production, rural development and fisheries as a stimulant for growth, the belief that the rural economy of this country is important to growth, and the belief that real and significant growth can only take place, Mr. Speaker, if we also pay attention to the rural sector. This belief, Mr. Speaker, is embedded in the presentation by the Minister for Finance. It was in 2004 that a good gentleman called Mr. Jagdeo, out of Guyana, the President of Guyana, at Grenant in Grenada, Mr. Speaker, presented an idea. An idea that was based in the fact that CARICOM was not providing a production-based food security system, that CARICOM was not earning sufficient foreign exchange to cover our growing food import bill. The President of Guyana then spoke to CARICOM, Mr. Speaker, and indicated that if nothing was done soon enough, we would have serious problems with our food security and that our food import bill would continue to grow. St. Lucia's food import bill, Mr. Speaker, in 2010 stood at a whopping $350 million. In other words, we spent over $350 million, Mr. Speaker, pour gagner manger notre pays. Very important, Mr. Speaker, to recognize that we must pay special attention to this sector, to our fishermen, our fisherfolk, and our farmers. I want to salute the farmers, though, before I go any further, Mr. Speaker, because many of us know that it is the St. Lucian farmers, those whom we consider to be poor, uneducated, without skills, those who don't pay too much attention to the harsh realities of international markets, those who do not pay too much attention to rising commodity prices, those who do not pay too much attention to market liberalization, they are the ones who day in, day out, over years, who have overcome hurricanes, drought, crop and animal diseases, unfair trade practices, and still they are the ones who kept us afloat. They are the ones who made for us the bed on which many of us so comfortably lie. C'est vraiment, Monsieur Speaker, important, parce que toute carte de débat à la télévision qui a parlé à les affaires trade liberalization, Fama, qui a levé tous les bons matins, avec qui parole à la trade liberalization qui a fait, qui pas qu'a fait, il y a allé travailler web pour aider nos pays cette fois-ci. Conseil est important. Pêcheur est important, Monsieur Speaker. And too many times, Mr. Speaker, we in St. Lucia and in the Caribbean, we devalue the contribution of rural people. Too many times we equate it simply to the GDP contribution, with very little thought, Mr. Speaker, given to linkages, very little thought given to the stability that our farmers and fisherfolk give to rural life, very little thought to the strategic importance of our country's food security. A chile, Mr. Speaker, nous ka blier, nous ka garder ces limoa, avec nous ka dit, agriculture pas ka faire bien GDP, comme ça nous ka oublier, importance manger, importance tous ces côtés-là qui nous ka créer rural areas, tous ces places-là nous ka oublier qui c'est moun sa ka chen manger, nous ka chen stabilité à pays cette ici. Mr. Speaker, this government wants to salute the farmers, the fishermen, and all rural people. We say to them that we know that they are business people, and we know that they are part of the solution to rural poverty and underdevelopment. We must seek to understand them, Mr. Speaker. As we know, the typical farmer is aging. Peut-être tout un chai farmer, nous a passé l'âge 55 l'année. And shy you all, many of them do not have formal training. And many of them still work very hard in agriculture. What must we do then? We have a responsibility, Mr. Speaker, to create initiatives that will help improve the livelihoods of our farmers, our fishermen, our fisherfolk, and the rural sector as a whole. Our priority will drive our policy and the shift that must take place in agriculture and the rural sector, Mr. Speaker, will be foremost in our minds. Nous, à gouvernement, ça, Mr. Speaker, nous avons décidé qui agricole avec monde qui a été à place, à des monde qui a créé place forte, rural areas, c'est bagaille ça là, ça est important pour nous. I want to draw your attention, Mr. Speaker, to comments printed by the International Fund for Agricultural Development of the United Nations. And in a recent report, Mr. Speaker, IFAD indicated that GDP growth generated by agriculture is 4 times more effective in reducing poverty than growth generated by other sectors. They also indicated that the trend over the last few decades by government has been to reduce the contribution from the taxpayer and also from international organizations to agriculture. In 1979, governments contributed an average of 18% of their development budget to agriculture. By 2008, Mr. Speaker, at the height of the food crisis, governments were only contributing 4.3%. So what are we to do? We must continue to improve our contributions to agriculture, and I'm very pleased that this year the Minister for Finance has increased our capital budget by over $4 million. A step in the right direction, Mr. Speaker. We are net importers of food. Nous avons gagné, mangé, sur l'autre pays, plus en plus sous l'année. What does this mean? Food prices continue to increase, Mr. Speaker, and countries all over the world, regardless of size and economic profile, are taking steps, drastic steps, and conscious steps to combat this threat. Not only food is getting expensive, but it's also becoming more expensive to produce food, Mr. Speaker. The price of fertilizer, the price of animal feed, it's very difficult for our farmers and our fisherfolk. What are we to do as a government in those extraordinary times? We know that there is uncertainty in the global marketplace. And what will the government do? Should we simply cause our people to import what is called cheap food from overseas? And what happens if we have a crisis? This government is fully aware, Mr. Speaker, that there must be a revolution in agriculture. And that revolution must take place with tools that have already been established by government's past. That revolution must take place by sharpening some of the tools that are already established. And that revolution must take place with new strategies, Mr. Speaker. Today, agriculture is much more than production of food. Most countries, Mr. Speaker, consider agriculture to be a strategic asset, not just an activity. Countries assist in the form of subsidies and in the form of growing external aid. At the policy level, Mr. Speaker, we speak of repositioning agriculture, fisheries, and policies towards rural development. The problem every single year of agriculture's contribution to GDP will be considered very seriously. The contribution of agriculture, Mr. Speaker, is measured by using information about harvest, the sale of raw materials, mainly crops and livestock. As a result, all of the linkages, backward and forward linkages, are usually not valued. Value added is not considered adequately. And so the methods that are traditionally used to measure the contribution of agriculture to GDP create a problem for us. And we ask ourselves over and over again, Mr. Speaker, are we capturing the true contribution of agriculture, fisheries, to the development of our country? And we know it is a question that is being asked all around the Caribbean and in the developing world. And what are we going to do about it, Mr. Speaker? One of our priorities is to begin to tackle this question of how do we measure adequately agriculture's contribution to the economy of St. Lucia. And as early as June 2012, Mr. Speaker, as a result of a visit to Costa Rica and discussions with ICA, we will be getting some assistance from the Inter-American Institute for Cooperation and Agriculture, which is ICA, to introduce an approach that will allow us to determine agriculture's true contribution to the St. Lucian economy or to the GDP. I can say to you, Mr. Speaker, that we've been in discussions with technocrats in the Ministry of Finance, and the experts from ICA will arrive here in early June. We are going to do something about it, Mr. Speaker. We have spoken over and over again about the use and management of St. Lucia's agricultural land. The Prime Minister in his address, Mr. Speaker, at page 37, spoke about our national assets. The Prime Minister alluded to land, the use of land that is being changed, the land use policy. He's concerned, Mr. Speaker, about vast amounts of government land that is being transformed to other activities, construction, and commercial uses. What are we going to do about it at the policy level? Mr. Speaker, we are concerned because this is occurring at a time when, in general, St. Lucia is being challenged to produce more of its own food. We are being asked to create jobs in agriculture and in fisheries and associated areas. And at the same time, our land is being taken away from us and being used, some of our more arable lands, Mr. Speaker, lands in Choiseul, in the valleys, are being used to put garages and all kinds of buildings and so on. Mr. Speaker, this government intends to do something about that. We intend to study our land use patterns in St. Lucia. We intend to look at the lands owned by the government of St. Lucia. We intend to ensure that the more arable lands are kept by farmers and people who are willing to produce food for local consumption and for export. We intend as a policy to use local experts, some of whom have done extensive studies in land use classification. They have done extensive studies in soils and use of soils, and we intend to use their expertise. They will add to the work that has been done by the Food and Agricultural Organization and other agencies to help us develop a proper system where we can lease land to our farmers. We can provide them with a place on which they can practice their craft and to produce food for this country. We can give them hope. We can make days much better for them, Mr. Speaker. And that is what we are going to do. What are we to do in the area of fisheries? Mr. Speaker, you heard from the Prime Minister. And Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure if it is because the Prime Minister represents Newport South, a major area for fisheries. He's very passionate about the fisheries subsector. I'm being told by a member that every week the Prime Minister eats his fried fish and barbecued fish, grilled fish, all kinds of fish in the constituency of Newport North, Mr. Speaker. So while Newport South produces a lot of fish, we roast the fish much better. So, Mr. Speaker, we are very concerned about the fisheries subsector. And the Prime Minister has indicated, Mr. Speaker, that this government intends to revitalize the fisheries sector. And the Minister for Finance did, in the capital estimate, he did make some allocation for our revitalizing the fisheries sector project. We want to encourage young people to get into fisheries, Mr. Speaker. There's a need for us to develop the fisheries subsector because of the potential. Mr. Speaker, in spite of the fact that fisheries, the value added in the fisheries, in fisheries declined last year, on page 25 of the Social and Economic Review, the value added in fisheries declined last year, another year of decline. In spite of that, Mr. Speaker, the fishermen and fisherfolk of St. Lucia injected an estimated $24.8 million into our economy. A significant amount, a significant injection. And so we see the subsector as an area with some innovation and with tremendous attention. We see this area as being a potential area for employment. And so, Mr. Speaker, with the help of the experts at the ministry and with the help of other agencies, we have developed an initiative called Revitalizing the Fisheries Sector to increase employment opportunities for young fishers and entrepreneurs. And very quickly, Mr. Speaker, I can tell you that the objectives of this project is, first of all, to update and expand the 2006 plan to manage the fisheries of St. Lucia, to include strategic intervention which will pay attention to sustainable use and sustainable development and participatory planning processes, and we are hoping to have this plan by March 2013. We also want to create business and employment opportunities for young people to operate within the national fisheries sector through formal training, Mr. Speaker. And hopefully we will begin this year and it will go on for the next 3 years. We want to develop a 5-year operational and business plan for the management and sustainable finances of the fisheries complexes. Most people know it as the Fish Marketing Corporation. Island-wide, Mr. Speaker, we want to focus on the Fish Marketing Corporation and to ensure that the Fish Marketing Corporation reaches its full potential. And so, we will create a task force to facilitate and oversee the development of that coherent plan. We will ensure that the mechanism to make timely payments available to fishermen exists by December of this year, Mr. Speaker. We have heard time and time again that fishermen will complain about payments. And we know that there are some cooperatives, like the Labri Fishermen's Cooperative, the Schwarzel Fishermen's Cooperative, They have made some moves to regularize the situation, but we have to assist the other cooperatives as a government, as a Department of Fisheries, to ensure that timely payments are made to fishermen. We also want to ensure that there is a specific action plan to increase the economic opportunities for the tourism preferred species, Mr. Speaker, like lobster and conch. So we have a plan, and we will not approach the fishery subsector in a piecemeal manner. We have a plan, we have measurable goals, we have targets, and I want to congratulate the Department of Fisheries. I want to congratulate the Chief Fisheries Officer. We have some very hard-working people in the ministry, Mr. Speaker, and with some assistance and some support, we will increase employment in fisheries, we will see younger people getting involved, and we will change the face of that subsector. Mr. Speaker, ça nous a dit assez, gouvernement a gardé les affaires les pêches, les affaires pêcher. Et nous savons about pêcher. Nous savons les affaires, mais les plus jeunes monde à un système la pêche. Nous savons si nous aider ces pêcheurs, si nous aider ces mouna qui n'y canot là, si nous aider ces matelots, ces mouna y aura couillé bot boy, y'a tout. Bayo instrument, fais yo, fais travail yo plus facile. Nous savons faire plus moun jouen travail à la pêche. Nous savons faire pêcher, c'est un business. Avec piso, tout moun ka aller acheter travail à de l'autre place. Yo sa faire business yo même. Avec nous savons place qu'on vient fort, vient rien. Nous savons gozile. Avec nous va commencer, M. Speaker. À Slawe, Kanawi. Nous avons travaillé, laboré, tout partout au lieu de cette liste, pour la nuit pêcher. Nous avons travaillé avec nous pour garder qui nous jouons l'argent primaire, pour garder qui nous n'y plus côté. Nous, en vieux fort, the fisheries complex in Vieux-Fort, Mr. Speaker, was ignored for the last few years. It was allowed to just remain there as some kind of white elephant. It was not built for that, Mr. Speaker. We are going to change it. We are going to change it to ensure that the capacity of this facility is used and that we use it, we maximize the use of it so as to bring benefits to the fisher folk of St. Lucia. You heard, Mr. Speaker, the Minister for Finance, the fuel rebate for fishermen, another indication that this government is serious about the fisheries subsector. Increasing the fuel rebate, rebate la pêche kay jwenn, Mr. Speaker. Nous te tan Premier Ministre la di, rebate la pêche kay jwenn, ka moute pa yon 100%. Nous te ka jwenn 75 cents, après ça yon ka jwenn 150, Mr. Speaker. And as we have said before, some of that money, Mr. Speaker, will go to a distress fund, which the fisheries cooperatives will use in times of trouble. And some of it goes to the cooperative for different developmental programs, and a portion of it goes to the fishermen who purchase so much fuel in this country. And the last review, Mr. Speaker, was done by this Labour government in 2006. So, Mr. Speaker, it is this government, this party, that has led and has championed the revolution in the fisheries subsector, and we will continue to do so. Livestock, Mr. Speaker. What are we to do? And I want to say something about the livestock subsector. If you go, Mr. Speaker, if you go through the social and economic review documents, and if you review documents over the last 5, 6, or even 7 years, you will note, Mr. Speaker, that while the trend in performance for bananas or other subsectors of agriculture may go up or down and maybe fluctuate, but the livestock subsector seems for some reason to continue to do well. The farmers, our farmers who do swine production, our poultry farmers, our egg producers, those who They work so hard, Mr. Speaker. And as a country, as a government, we need somehow to find a way in a systematic manner to assist the livestock subsector. In 2011, the performance declined by 5.2%. Chicken fell, Mr. Speaker, chicken production fell by 0.2%. But it contributed $16.3 million to the economy of St. Lucia. Pork production contributed $2.2 million, Mr. Speaker. And we know from 2005, Mr. Speaker, that our egg producers have been doing exceptionally well. Egg production grew. And they contributed $7.6 million to the economy. What this is saying, Mr. Speaker, is that while there may be dips, ebbs and flows, over the years, the livestock subsector continue to do well. And this government, Mr. Speaker, sees livestock, the livestock subsector, as one of the pillars, one of the pillars of our development program for alleviating rural poverty. We are going to build on structures that were created before, and we are going to move in new directions. I want, Mr. Speaker, quickly to say thank you to the workers, the staff at the Ministry of Agriculture who are in the livestock division, our chief vet and his staff, and they are working under tremendous pressure. So many constraints, and yet over the years, our livestock farmers are doing well. So what are we going to do? Mr. Speaker, since 1999, Mr. Speaker, there was a plan, there was a study called a diagnostic study, and it was titled the Livestock Industry Development Plan as early as 1999. And this study, Mr. Speaker, recognized a number of constraints. We know the difficulties that our livestock farmers face. High cost of production, competition with cheap imported livestock products, the absence of quality standards, the absence of appropriate slaughtering, processing, and marketing facilities, the absence of organized livestock producer groups, the absence of organized and efficient livestock production systems, lack of clear sectoral policies, and lack of a livestock development plan. So what are we to do? Over the years, Mr. Speaker, there's been a very sluggish and piecemeal approach towards the development of the sector. And many experts, many technical experts in our ministry have said this very same thing over and over to me. So what are we going to do? We are going to build on what was left behind. We know, Mr. Speaker, that the last government commissioned the construction of the meat processing facility. We also know of the many initiatives, and these are well documented, from as early as 1994. From as early as 1999, the many initiatives of various different governments, whether it is the Labour government or the United Workers Party government, to develop systems for the livestock subsector. But we, Mr. Speaker, we have decided to create a new initiative called the Livestock Sector Repositioning Program. And this program is very comprehensive. We are starting this year, Mr. Speaker, and the Minister for Finance has given an allocation of a little over $1 million but we are going to start. We will ensure that there is the institutional support. We will ensure, Mr. Speaker, that we deal with the whole issue of feed, the cost of feed. We will ensure that the legislative framework is in place. We will ensure that the Boseju Agricultural Station, and many governments have spoken about Boseju, Mr. Speaker, we can go to Hansard if we have the time, and I can quote to you, Mr. Speaker, so many utterances by the last Minister for Agriculture on Boseju and what he's going to do in a year, in 2 years, and all kinds of things, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to spend my time going over what he said, but Mr. Speaker, we will be serious about this Boseju station. We believe, as many experts have said before, that the Boseju Agricultural Station gives us a perfect opportunity to develop the livestock subsector and to bring it to its maximum potential. And we will not, this government will not change the use of the Boseju area and construct a hospital in the middle of a pasture. We will not construct a hospital 20 feet away from a slaughtering house, Mr. Speaker. We will not do it. And when we protested against it, when the last government proposed it, that's all we were saying. We are all for the project. We are all for the hospital. But we are not for removing our pastures and creating more problems for our livestock people. Tanukadia, Mr. Speaker, c'est nous savons d'affaires animaux, d'affaires nourris cochons, poules, nous savons d'affaires nourris moutons, c'est une activité qui s'amène un chai l'argent par l'économie cette ici. Et Mr. Speaker, tous les années, c'est femmes qui ont nourri cochons avec poules, de là, ils ont un chai difficulté, mais tous les années, ils ont fait bien. Et nous savons que ça fait meilleur. Nous savons simple ici, nous avons gagné un chai vienne sortir l'autre pays. Et de là, M. Speaker, c'est vienne ça, combien d'années ils ont le fridge. C'est ça que nous voulons faire. We want to ensure, Mr. Speaker, that there are systems in place for us to produce locally and as a result create employment and create a system where we can have healthy food, where we can have safety systems so that our meat can be healthy. We have a situation at this time, Mr. Speaker, where we do not vaccinate our chickens, our chicks. We don't. And we have, that's a big edge that we have over the chick imports. Can we develop a system where we can market that quality of a safe local fowl, Mr. Speaker, so that even though you pay 25 cents more, we try our best to produce it at a cheaper price, at a lower cost. But even though you pay 10 cents more, you will save that money later down the road. Fewer cancers, Mr. Speaker. You will save that money because you will have less medical bills, hopefully. And Mr. Speaker, that is where we are going. So our plan wants to look at this and the meat processing facility, which was commissioned by the last government, will be completed. It will be completed with all of the adjustments that have to be made. And this government, the adjustment and the cost overrun, the millions of dollars in cost overrun, Mr. Speaker. But we will not stand here and complain about it. Yes, in a building. Millions of dollars. We will not stand here to complain about it. We were elected by the people, the farmers of this country expect us to get it going and get it going well and in good time. And that is what we will do. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister spoke about the increasing the market share for locally produced chicken. The Prime Minister has indicated to us that we are spending millions of dollars in the importation of chicken. Nous avons dépensé combien de millions de dollars pour gagner un chicken? Et ce chicken, ça va, M. Speaker, de l'air, combien d'années, il y a les fridges, je ne peux aller à les bâtiments. Important to say that, Mr. Speaker. But it's cheaper, and so our people go for it. Mr. Speaker, we know that there are concerns. There are concerns. The processors have their own concerns. We know that the importers of chicken have their own concerns. Many of them have spoken to me. They have called me, Mr. Speaker, since the announcement, and even before the announcement. But we want to ensure that, we want to assure them and honorable members that the ministry will put systems in place to assist the processors to reach the required safety standards. We want our processors to continue to improve on their processes so that we can have the international standards that some of them are already acquiring, so that we can sell our chicken and hopefully very soon we can have 100% poultry, 100% of our chicken can come from St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker. It can happen, and we will work towards that goal. Feed, the cost of feed, Mr. Speaker, is approximately 80% of the production cost for our of producing animals, producing meat. And therefore, we are in discussions, Mr. Speaker, together with the Ministry of Commerce, with investors, to see whether it is possible to establish our own feed mill, because the development of our livestock subsector is grounded in that reality, that we must address the question of the cost of feed. And our government will do whatever it takes to ensure that we get a feed mill established, obviously with private sector assistance and partnership, or that we assist the farmers to get the feed at reasonable cost. Nous regardons les affaires pour y manger pour ces animaux. Nous savons cher. Et nous travaillons avec yon de moun, Mr. Speaker, yon de gens business qui voulaient faire un feed mill en cette place. Et nous regardons les affaires pour voir ça nous a fait. I am sure, Mr. Speaker, constituents from all around St. Lucia, especially in the rural parts of St. Lucia, are looking forward to this, because many of them can grow chickens, many of them have the space, and many of them can use it as a means of income, and many of them can be independent. Sou sa ni defna chicken, pool, 300, ou sa fè l'argent. Et gouvernement sa kay travay wè de fèkou. And not only chickens, Mr. Speaker, rabbits, ducks. There are so many things we can do, and we have to get serious. We are serious about it, and we will get going on it. Mr. Speaker, even the interesting area of apiculture, many people, Mr. Speaker, have discounted the value of bees. And very early in our government, I had discussions with a group of bee farmers, a fledgling cooperative, Mr. Speaker, the Milflair cooperative, and there are other cooperatives who are interested in the production of honey. And not just honey, Mr. Speaker, the wax. There are so many byproducts of honey, the wax, and so many things that can be done. So there's a wide area, some new areas, and some areas that are not so new, but areas that we can go into. Mr. Speaker, vonvon, c'est un animal qui est important. Si nous pas ni vonvon, un chat et pied bois, pas qu'à y faire fruit. Si nous pas ni vonvon, un chat agricole, vonvon, qu'à aider agricole. Mais aussi, Mr. Speaker, vonvon, well, typique à pain. Aussi, Mr. Speaker, vonvon, ça aide femme. Ek fama ki ka podwi siwo miel, sa fè chay laje.
Honorable member, you have 15 minutes remaining to conclude your contribution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Vonvon ki ka fè siwo miel, sa important, Mr. Speaker. Exam se yon bom si o miel. Yon bom si o miel kon se bom lan ki menm gose bom pin si ya. A bom si o miel kon sa. Se kon lò. Nou pa ni ase si o miel pou 27 lisi. In other words, the market for honey is there, Mr. Speaker. There is a great demand for honey. And we have to find a way, we will find a way to engage more of our farmers in the production of honey. So it is not only bananas and livestock and so on. We want to approach agriculture with a paintbrush that paints very broadly. Mr. Speaker, bananas. What's our policy on bananas? I'll be very short. Mr. Speaker, this government insists that to move forward with diversification, we must stabilize the banana industry. Mr. Speaker, we hear a lot of talk about the waste of money. People tell you, Mr. Speaker, of late, that we are wasting money on farmers. We announced $12 million assistance package to farmers, and they are jumping on the radio and on TV to say that we are wasting money on farmers. Some of these very people, Mr. Speaker, are business people, some of them, and they get tax relief from the government. Millions of dollars worth of tax relief to their sector. They say nothing. And when this government decides to assist farmers, they get tax relief on their vehicles with FARs and all kinds of things. Some of them are not even farmers, Mr. Speaker. Nice vehicles with mags. But when this government decides to put a mega $12 million into farming, they're on the radio. We are wasting government's money. But I insist, Mr. Speaker, that I will not be Minister for Agriculture and decline the advice of the Prime Minister. He has advised me, Mr. Speaker, that this government will continue to support the farmers. And I support him wholeheartedly. Gouvernement sa akay continue si bay sama sipo. Nou sav zate figla pa koite avan. We understand the constraints, Mr. Speaker. We understand the difficulties. We understand the international market. But we know well that if we allow the banana industry to crash, our rural economy is in trouble. We know that. So we are not going to stop. However, we need to assist the farmers, and in stabilizing the banana industry, we need to look at the structure of the industry. And discussions have started in that regard. At the level of the Prime Minister even, Mr. Speaker. And I know the Prime Minister likes to, unless he has something solid, he doesn't want you to say anything. But Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister has called on banana stakeholders himself since coming into office, together with officials from our ministry, and we are beginning to talk about how can we move forward with the banana industry. So we are not going to let the banana farmers down. In terms of the black sugar token, Mr. Speaker, what more can I say on this? All over the country, in fact, people are now calling their vehicles, spraying their vehicles nicely, nice black and red and so on, and painting a nice black sugar token on it. They call their vehicles black sugar token. It is just an acknowledgement, Mr. Speaker, that this is a serious problem, and the whole country now, whether they like it or not, the whole country is aware, and they are behind us. I am happy, Mr. Speaker, for all the criticisms. I call them constructive, because I'm so happy, Mr. Speaker, that since 2010, that sugar token was announced, that established in 2010, we spoke about it in the parliament, I can read Hansard. But so many of the scientists were absent. So many of the scientists had forgotten about their degrees. So many of the scientists were nowhere to be found. And I'm happy, Mr. Speaker, that everybody is on board now to give us advice. And we will take all the good advice that anyone will give us. And we will even have them come join us to help. But, Mr. Speaker, I am not going to sit in the ministry and allow any negative criticism to stop us. We accept the advice and we'll move on. We'll help the farmers. So, we have a plan. The member from Miku South said there's a team in place. He's correct. There is a team in place. We have a coordinator. We are building on this team. And we know that the issues with drainage. So, look at any time, Mr. Speaker, when they say farmer, as a canal. And, Mr. Speaker, the STEP program will be used to assist the farmers. Those areas where mechanization, tractors can't go to build drains, we are going to use the STEP program to help farmers in some of these other areas, Newport North, Babuno, all the areas. We are going to use part of the STEP program to assist. I thank the Minister for Finance for the $500,000 to take care of the destruction of the abandoned fields. And already, Mr. Speaker, friends, we are already moving in that direction. Very quickly, Mr. Speaker, in terms of policy, we are going to present an agricultural incentives bill. We are also continuing what the Prime Minister said is an initiative of the last government, the Youth Entrepreneurial Program. And we are working on the Youth Entrepreneurial Program. When we came, Mr. Speaker, we found a shell. We found a shell. And again, it is not our style to come and say, when you were there, when you were there, when you were there. We have taken this shell, and we have now put eggs into this shell, Mr. Speaker. We are building a structure for the Youth Entrepreneurial Program. There was no structure. And I await the other one's comment in the Senate. But anyway, Mr. Speaker, there was no structure. And we are going to continue to support the cocoa production, Mr. Speaker. In 2006, there was a program which continued in 2009, and we are going to continue to support it. The coconut industry, Mr. Speaker, we have some challenges there, but our ministry will support. But, Mr. Speaker, before I close, the ministry itself. There was a study a few years ago by a gentleman called Dr. Budram from ECA. And this study, Mr. Speaker, spoke to the ministry itself. What is the ministry? What is it there to do? And if we speak about development and programs and so on, we must know what our ministry is there to do. And, Mr. Speaker, I spent a lot of time during the first 3 months of my responsibility as minister to just meet with the staff, talk to them, to find out what their concerns were. And to simply ask a question, very simply, what is the Ministry of Agriculture supposed to do in St. Lucia? And Mr. Speaker, we could not come to one conclusion. This means, Mr. Speaker, that we need to work together to ensure that the ministry itself is well-oiled, its tools are sharpened so that we can deliver to the farmers. See, ministrial même nous avons travaillé pour make sure, Mr. Speaker, that ministrial même tout outils filés, tout département, nous n'y a plan, nous savons ça nous avons fait. We have targets, our annual work plan, our strategic plan. What is our vision? What should the Ministry of Agriculture be doing? Should it be opening businesses? Should it be getting involved in marketing? Should it be doing value added? Or should it be creating an atmosphere of a private sector to get involved in agriculture? What is the role of the ministry? So we are going to work very, very hard on this. And I can promise members, Mr. Speaker, that very soon, within the next few months, we will come up with our vision statement, a new vision statement, our programs, our five-year plan. And that is how I like to work, Mr. Speaker. And that is how the members of this House, who are part of our cabinet, that's all they accept, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm sure they would know. You cannot come to the cabinet and you don't know what you're about. So we need to know what we're about. So the PS, I want to thank him for his work and all of the officers, and they are working very hard, Mr. Speaker, to ensure that we come with a coherent plan.
And remember, you have 5 minutes left to conclude your contribution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, so I want to thank all of the department here, whether it is fisheries, whether it is engineering, the Vet Division, administration, the permanent secretary, my own secretary, everybody, Mr. Speaker, our partners, all of the cooperatives, to say, different group of agriculture. Because, Mr. Speaker, it's a very challenging task. And as my colleague indicated a few last week or so, there are many people, Mr. Speaker, who said, what did the Prime Minister give you? Well, you know, they call him by his nice little name. What did he give you? Agriculture? Ah, they want to kill you. Oh, they want you to lose your seat. Because, Mr. Speaker, the record is, since independence, no Minister of Agriculture has returned to the Parliament. Check it, Mr. Speaker. Check the history. Mr. Speaker, that's what it is. So people are saying to me that the Prime Minister don't like you. They send you to agriculture where things are difficult, the staff, whatever, that big ministry. But Mr. Speaker, you know what? I'm having the time of my life. The staff members, Mr. Speaker, say staff for agriculture. So far, two only want to please him early. Say, we're not happy. They have their concerns, Mr. Speaker. Traveling, telephone, gear, and all of that kind of thing. They have their concerns, and we're going to work on it. But they are a very happy bunch. We are going to work very hard. We should thank the FAO, the Taiwanese mission. We want to thank everybody. But we have a new direction. We'll move in a new direction, Mr. Speaker. We will do a visioning exercise. We are going to build on what the last government left. We are going to fix some of what they left that was not good enough. But we are going to build consensus, and we are going to move this department forward. We are going to produce food for this country. We're going to increase exports. We are going to increase our production of fish and seafood. And Mr. Speaker, if God spares my life and my health, look forward to me. If the Prime Minister and the party which I'm part of desire, and our people of Beaufort North, this record of no Minister for Agriculture returning to the House is about to end. Thank you very much.